Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Can I get a little house light this morning? Maybe a little extra this morning. I could not find my glasses, so I'm wearing a lower prescription, so might need a little help to figure out where I'm at this morning. So that's why I've got my phone, so I can see a little closer. Tithes and offering, just going to go through a few announcements this morning. Tithes and offering in the back, so you guys continue being good steward of what God has blessed you with. We got a great announcement this morning of a brand new baby that was born last week. This is Henry Will Bongiorno. I made sure I put a little emphasis on the Italian thing there. Bongiorno. The mom and dad are doing well. I believe they're already back home now, right? Do we know? They got back home yesterday. So baby's doing great. From what I heard, I got a little text from them that the baby's doing well, and so is mom and dad. Sunday Night Light is tonight at 6:30. For those who are faithfully attending, this is amazing. Lots of great report that I'm hearing from those who are attending. Wednesday night is Life in the Word. We are starting a brand new series. We completed Winning the War in Your Mind. And this Wednesday, I'm starting a new series called Searching for Worth, Searching for Significance, a brand new series that I'm starting. Join us live on Facebook starting at 6 p.m. And that will be the same time when we do Anchor Youth as well. So if you're staying at home, you can just right in your PJ while you're having dinner, just tune in and be able to hear the word of the Lord right in the middle, midweek. That's your midweek pick-me-up. And Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we have Kingdom Men. So please join us. This would be the time for us to get refreshed and fellowship as men together. And I would be also talking a little bit about some project. I know I've gone through a lot of your serve cards from last week. A lot of you guys have circled the part where he talks about small projects. And believe me, there are a lot of small projects in our church, and we need your help. So those that have circled that, and maybe even more, I would be contacting you sometime this week, inviting you to men's breakfast. And at the same time, we'll be talking about some of the small projects that we have going on. We're going to kind of do a little walk through the building and identify some of the stuff that we want to get done. And next week also we have, probably I should make this announcement as well. We have a group of engineers that's going to be coming in, maybe an architect as well, that's going to be coming in to look at our building. This is our first phase of figuring out how we approach this big, giant project. So anyway, be in prayer about this, and I'll keep you in the loop as I get more information. So right now, that's all I know, okay? Not 10 o'clock, but 9 a.m. We kind of make it, you know, a little earlier start so that way we can be done, and then we can move on with our day. Guys are early morning, right? You know, not all of us. I'm early morning, but not all of us. But I like to just come early in the morning and then be done, okay? So, and then Sunday, March 27th, we're going to have a guest speaker. He's the director of Alaska Home Missions. So he's going to be here. He's going to be our guest speaker. Pastor Terry Hall has got an amazing testimony of how God healed him from cancer. He had final stages of cancer in his throat. In fact, when he came a few years, I think in 2019 is when he came, he had stage 4 cancer. And then God supernaturally healed him. But we're expecting him to be here with us, maybe to share his testimony. I'm not really sure exactly what he's going to be talking about, but I'm going to put a little plug for him to be able to share what God has done supernaturally in his life. And he's going to be with us on March the 27th. And that's pretty much it for announcement. And let's get ready for the word. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your word that you have put on my heart, Lord God. Lord, I pray right now that I may diminish so that you might increase and be the voice to me right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Hallelujah. Today is going to be part two of our series, A Good Steward. All right? And I believe we've got many good stewards in the house. Amen? I shared with you a little bit about how well we did last year in terms of stewardship. And that's important. As a church, as we preach about stewardship, we are able to demonstrate how good of a steward we are, even as a church, as a body of believers. How many of you have teenagers in the house? Yeah? How many of you at one point in time were a teenager? Oh, yeah. I've got teenagers in my house. And today this guy here is 16. We've already sang to him and everything else. So I told him this morning, he came out receiving spanking. So I don't know what's going to happen today, buddy, but when he came out of the womb, I think he, Don said he shot out fast, too fast. So he came out like a bullet. So his lungs were not fully opened up, so we had to spank him to get him to start breathing. So anyway, so I told him this morning, yeah, he came out with a spanking, so... anyway, so if you've got teenagers, I'm sure at some point in your life, you've had this thought, or you've said that as well. This is my house. This is my house. And I believe God has got, he's got a few teenagers running around. He's got a few teenagers running around where there's arguments about whose house it is. And once in a while you'll hear God say, this is my house. This is my house. So in Psalm 24 verse 1, God reminds us of this. He says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. The responsibility of ownership. We've been talking about ownership last week. The responsibility of ownership is God's. He owns it all, so the responsibility of being an owner, that's his. He's the landlord, right? When you are the renter and something breaks, who do you call? You call the landlord. You call the guy who owns it all. So when something is not working right, who do you call? Ghostbusters. You call the landlord. You call the guy who owns it all, and that's God. So when something is not working right, don't try to fix it. Call on God, because he owns it all. He's the landlord. Our responsibility is what? Stewardship. That's what we do. Our responsibility is stewardship. And stewardship is to faithfully manage, protect, take care of, expand, and multiply. I'm adding this today. Expand and multiply. That is also part of our responsibility as a steward of what belongs to God. I know we talked about to manage, to protect, to preserve, but we also have a responsibility to multiply what was given to us. So, take care of things, meaning you do the task,
what is set before you. Everything that God has set before you. In fact, a steward is the same thing as a servant. It's the same word. Comes from the same root. When you are stewarding something, you are providing servanthood to whatever is entrusted in your care. So your level of stewardship, we can say that your level of stewardship is measured by your level of servanthood. We can measure how good of a steward you are by measuring as well how good of a servant you are. So servanthood and stewardship, they go hand in hand. If serving, if ever you had this thought, oh, you know what, I don't want to serve. If serving is beneath you, then stewardship is beyond you. If stewardship is beneath you, then you're not worthy. You use this word worthy of leadership. Because it starts with you being a good steward, being a good servant, so that you can lead. Because they go hand in hand. So, as a matter of fact, this is so important to the kingdom of God that Jesus talks about servanthood, stewardship, so much throughout the Word of God. In fact, it was so important to him that in Matthew chapter 25, that we're going to get ready to read, he actually talks about the importance of stewardship. There's a parable that God set aside just to talk about stewardship. So when we talk about parable, what's a parable? A parable is a story. A story that is thrown alongside, that's where you get the word para, which in parallel, to a truth. A kingdom principle that is a kingdom principle, but then a story is sent alongside that kingdom principle to teach us something. To teach us a lesson, a moral. And that is the purpose of a parable. In this parable that we're getting ready to read, the term that you're going to see is talent. Now, when we talk about talent, we're talking in this term, in context of this passage, the word talent means a measure of worth. A measure of worth. This is what we would say a net worth. A net worth of someone. What is your net worth? Right? You've heard that term before, right? What is the net worth of that person? In this context here, it's talking about the net worth of someone's life at the end of his life. What was his maximum potential of worth? So, the maximum potential in that context there, if you want to translate and put it into dollars and cents, one talent, I want you to remember this, one talent would be worth $1.4 million. That's quite a bit there, right? Because it's talking about the net worth of a person. And in biblical days, just giving you a little bit of historical background on this and culture, back in those days, retirement age was 50. So they had 20 years if you start working at 30, which is you pass your apprenticeship, and now you are a master. You are able to master a trade. You have 20 years to work and to get your maximum potential. So here, and Jesus is giving us this example, he's using the term talent, and he's measuring one talent to be worth $1.4 million as it is now, as what we would know in terms of a net worth of someone, an individual. And this parable, by the way, I'm sure many of you are very familiar with this parable, and you've read this many times, the parable of the talent. The parable of the talent is not talking about heaven or hell. The parable of the talent is not talking about salvation, because it's talking about works. And works cannot be associated with salvation, because you don't work to get saved. So I don't want you to think when we're reading this that, oh man, it's talking about whether or not I'll be saved at the end if I don't do what God has entrusted me with. I don't use it. I don't want you to think that. So right off the bat, I'm taking these off the table, so that you don't allow your mind to go there and allow the enemy to rob you of what God is trying to teach the body of Christ this morning. All right? So let's read. In Matthew 25, starting with verse 14, Jesus said this. In your Bible, it will be in red. Whenever you see red, it means that these are the words of who? Jesus. This is him speaking, and he's teaching this parable to us, okay? He's teaching that to his disciples then, and he's teaching this to the body of Christ today. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man." The kingdom of God is like a man. Now, let's call this man the owner. Since we're talking about ownership and stewardship, let's call this man the owner. Now, Jesus is referring to himself there. He's referring to himself as the owner. He says, this man is traveling to a far country, who called his own servants. Now the servants, his own servants, that would be believers. His own servants. That would be you and me. He calls his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Whose goods are they? His goods. He's the owner. He delivers his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. That's a lot of money, right? To another 2, and to another 1. Now, I don't want you to feel sorry for the one, right? Because this is what we do. Oh, this poor dude got 1. Well, guess what? Dude is not going to have to work for the rest of his life. When he received this 1 talent, this is his net worth as an individual of the time, and he doesn't have to work for the rest of his life. So don't feel sorry for him, please. You don't need to feel sorry for him. He's got life made. You know, everything that he needs, he's already been provided by that 1 talent. To each was given according to his own ability. Now, ability is capacity. Capacity to be able to receive that much. Not everyone can handle $1.4 million. Not everyone can handle 10. Right? So God gives us what we need based on our capacity to receive it. Right? Based on this. So let's pause here for a minute. Okay? Let me ask you a question, because I know you might be thinking that. Because I thought about this too. So if I'm thinking about something, most likely there might be 2 or 3 others thinking about the same thing. Do you believe that God was just and fair in not giving the servants the same amount? And you don't need to answer this right now, but I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it, because if we think of God as unfair, guess what we will do? We will always compare ourselves with someone else. We would always be looking at, must be nice when we hear somebody doing something a little bit more than what we would do. Must be nice. This is us comparing ourselves with someone else. When we do that, we would think that God is unfair and just. He's not, oh, that's not right. How about me? Whenever we get this mindset, we will always think that God is unfair. That's not right. That's not just. If we think of God as unfair, guess what? We will never be satisfied. We will never be satisfied in the place where God has called us. We would always be looking at, oh, look at the grass was always greener on the other side. We would always do this. Or do you remember when we used to live there? Oh, it was so much nicer. We used to do this way. This was how our life was. It was much easier. Now look at us. See, whenever you think God is unfair, your mind will play tricks on you. Your mind will take you places where you don't belong. You would totally think of like, oh man, look at my life. But God is always fair and just. He always knows what He's doing. He's the owner. He owns everything. He's sovereign over everything that is happening around you. You know why I know this? His word says so. His word aligns with His character. That's the way He is. In Deuteronomy 30-4, He says, He is the rock. His deeds are perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Everything He does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright He is. That's our God. That's our God. He's just, He's upright, and everything He does, He has you in mind. I believe God is fair, and He has given each one of us the exact amount of resources we need to match the calling. To match the calling, He's given you and me the exact amount that we need to match the assignment. Whatever the assignment might be, He's given you and I exactly what we need. Remember, He owns the calling. It's His calling on your life, not your calling on your life. It's His calling on your life. And if He's called you to do something, and that something is an assignment, it's a task, guess what? He's provided you with everything you need to accomplish this assignment. He wants you to manage the resources. He wants you to multiply the resources even. It's not just managing something, but God wants you to produce something. God wants you to multiply something. That's why when you receive just one talent or two or three or whatever the number might be, God is expecting you to multiply. God is expecting you to grow. That's why you're not the same as you were when you were 17 years old. What happened to the resources? Guess what? If you apply it to the kingdom of God, they multiply. You expand. I thank God today that I'm not the same person that I used to be when I got saved in my 20s. Things have changed. God is expanding myself, my territory, the resources that is given to me. Guess what? It gets multiplied through stewardship, through servanthood. That's how you multiply the skills, is when you serve. When you serve, it's like you taking the seed that was in you and you planting it and multiplying it. That's how you grow. And Jesus is talking about this in this parable. He's explaining to the servants, explaining to us, that the only way you can actually be a good and faithful servant is to utilize what God has given to you now, today. And not to compare yourself to someone else. And that's the danger of us doing that, is to be complacent. Or to be dissatisfied with what God is doing. It's like we're complaining to the owner. I wish it was something else. I wish it was the Bahamas instead of Kodiak. I mean, I wish it could be somewhere else, Lord. Why not Florida? I mean, I've got a list of other places where I could be. Why not there? Why here? See, we can play this game, and when we do this, we would always see God as this unfair and unjust God. See, the Word of God is telling us here that our God is fair and just. His deeds are perfect. His deeds means what He's done. His deeds, what He's done to us, is always perfect, lacking nothing that is good for us to accomplish what He set for us to do. So remember the calling, He owns it. And if He owns it, guess what He's done? He's already prepared the resources that you need to accomplish the task. He's gone ahead of you. Because His name is Jehovah what? Jehovah Jireh. The God that goes ahead and makes provision. He's already set the stage for you to accomplish the assignment. It's just a matter of following Him and grab a hold of those resources. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are what? God's masterpiece." This is how He sees us as the final product before we even arrive at that place. He calls us His masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ. This is anew. It means that when you're born again, you are anew. When you're born again, you become aware of the resources, what was already there. You just didn't know it. You didn't know it. Before you were born, the resources were already set aside for you. But you just did not know that they were there. They were there the whole time. He says, so that we can do the good things He planned for us. When? Long ago. When the Word says long ago, guess what? It's long ago. It's a long, long time. So long ago that it was done before you were born. God already set aside those resources before you were even born, Isaiah. Before you were born, the resources that you need to accomplish the task that God has set for you, the college that you're supposed to be going, the finances that we're going to need, hallelujah, for you to be able to go to college, God has already made a provision for this. Should we worry about this? Absolutely not. Because He is the owner. He is the one that has already made the provision that we need. Do you think that God has got an assignment for you? He's not going to provide for you? Remember, He owns the calling. He owns the assignment. And when He's releasing you to go and do something, He's already made sure that you have all that you need beforehand, before you go there. So when you are a born-again believer, when you are created anew in Christ, the eyes of your understanding are open. Wow, I did not know that my God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I just did not know this. I remember during the time when I was applying for college, you know, you need to send your application. You get in college, right? Isaiah would know this very soon. And I remember at the time when I was applying for college, I had no money. And when we were coming in, I was coming in from England, and as an international student, you don't get access to federal grants. You don't get access to loans, federal loans, subsidized Stafford loans and unsubsidized Stafford loans and private loans. You don't get access to any of these. You have to show proof of financial proof ahead of time before you even get a visa to be able to come as a student. So there was no proof because there was no money. So, I mean, you know, I was still in college, but I remember filling out the application and sending it on to Oral Roberts University. And under financial proof, guess what I put? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, I did that one time, and, you know, there was another thing that I needed to do. I put the same thing there. And guess what? I got a phone call from the director of admissions. Well, Shannon, we're believing. We're believing with you that God's going to provide for you. But it's getting to the stage where we actually need evidence.
You know, we need to see a bank statement. And, you know, like it was hard to come up to show something. And I was like, Lord, when and how is this going to come? Then I started remembering that who called me? That was Him. If He called me, He's going to make sure I have what I need when I need it. When I was asking for it, it was not there. So whenever you're asking God for something and you're not seeing the evidence of it yet, what do? Do you give up? No, you keep pushing forward until you see the evidence coming in. Because you've already heard the calling. You know it's God. If it is God, He's going to make sure you have all that you need to accomplish the task. So I'll tell you a little bit more about the story later on, how that came. But we are not given equal amounts. We are never given equal amounts of talent. Never. It's never the same amount, but that's what we're given in equal amounts. Opportunity to succeed. Not the equal amount, but equal opportunity to be successful. That's what we are given. Now, if we take this to the three servants, would you agree that they were all given the same equal opportunity to succeed? Absolutely. They were all given the same opportunity to be successful. Different amounts, but same opportunity to succeed. You know what else they got that was the same? Same expectation. They all had the same expectation, and the expectation was simple. Be productive. The expectation was not just to manage, was just not to take care of it there, but the expectation was to be productive and to multiply, to make it grow, and not just to sit on it. See, stewardship is not just a responsibility. It's an expectation. God is expecting us to be a good steward. In Matthew 25, verse 16, He said, "Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also." So servant number one was productive. He was productive. He doubled his amount from 5 to 10. Servant number 2 was equally, I want to say that again, equally productive. He was just as productive as the first one because he doubled his amount also from 2 to 4. They both double what they were given. But it gets very interesting with servant number 3. In verse 18, it says, "But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." I want you to remember that because we're gonna circle right back to that a little bit later on. I wonder now how many holes are being dug right now all around the world by believers, where they are hiding what God has given to them. I wonder. I mean, since Jesus spent that much time to give us this parable and to talk about it, that must be something that is relevant to us today. I kind of wonder what is going on around the world about believers who've dug so many holes where what they've been given is now in hiding and not productive. Remember, that's the expectation. It's the same expectation of no matter how much you've received, the expectation is simple. The expectation is to be productive. To multiply, to make it grow. In fact, is to do business.
In Luke chapter 19, again, this is Jesus talking in Luke 19, verse 13. He says this, do business till I come. Right? What is do business? What do we do in business? We make it grow. We don't just sit on a business. You do business meaning you're doing something with what you've been given. And you do it until he comes. You do it. You multiply it. You let it grow. It's the same language that we see in Matthew chapter 25 verse 19. Right? He says, after a long time, the Lord, the owner of those servants, came and settled accounts with them. See, the Lord is coming back. A lot of times we don't talk about this because we think it's so far out. The Lord is coming back at some point. That's what he said in this word. The Lord is coming back. And what is he going to do when he comes back? He's going to settle the accounts. He's going to look at the servants with what they've been given. And he's going to settle the accounts when he comes back. Because the expectation was always the same. The expectation was to be productive. To do business till he comes. Oftentimes we forget the fact that Jesus is coming back. We lose sight of this very important thing that one day, soon and very soon, he's coming back. And he's going to come back. And he's going to come back. Number one, he's going to come back for the church. This is what we call in theology, we call this the rapture of the church. He's going to come back for the bride. And then he's going to come back again with the bride. See, there's two different things. A lot of time we don't even want to talk about this. When he comes back, he's going to come back to rule and reign. He's no longer going to come back on a donkey. He's going to come back on as a king on a horse. And he's going to come to rule and reign for how many years? 1,000 years. This is what we call the millennial reign of Christ. And during that reign of 1,000-year reign on earth, this is basically heaven on earth. At some point in time, we're going to do a study on this, hopefully. But this is what it's talking about. This whole passage, the whole parable of the talent, is referring back to the time where the settle of accounts is going to happen. You and I were expected to come with Christ to rule and reign with him. Some of us are going to be put in charge of countries, of continents, communities, villages, or whatever it might be. But everyone's going to be put in charge of something. Who would you want to put in charge? The one who dug a hole and buried what God has given? Or do you want to put somebody in charge of the person who's actually doubled and multiplied what God has given? I would say I would give it to the person who's the best steward. That is what the parable is referring to. It's referring all the way back to the second coming of Christ, when Christ is coming to rule and reign on earth. We're going to have assignments, guys. We're going to have a job to do, even after. That is why the Word of God is so strong on doing and utilizing and doing business till he comes. Why would Jesus be saying, do business till I come, if he was not coming back? Why would the master say, I'm giving you these talents, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, I will be settling accounts. And that's what happened in here. After a long time, those servants came. The Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. When he comes, there would be a settling of accounts. And the question would be asked, a simple question: how did you do with the resources that I've entrusted you with? I think this would be a valid question. How well did you do with what I've given to you, knowing that my expectation was for you to produce? We find that same language in Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says this: for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body. While in the body means while we're still here on earth. When we're done over there, we're going to be separated from the human form of the body. We're no longer going to be the same. The owner himself is keeping account. That's where he says that I'm going to be looking at what you've done, what you've accomplished. That's what we're reading right there in the parable in the book of Matthew right there. It's talking about the account of things that we have done here on earth. Now that's very sobering when we think about it. I mean, that should get us to start thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing with what God has given to me? Am I one of these that have dug a hole and planted this in there and not utilizing everything that God has entrusted me with? Or am I one of those that have gone and multiplied and utilized everything that God has entrusted me with? I'm hoping that I would be the one that would be one of those that multiplied it, that double what God has given, instead of just sitting on a few, because it made me uncomfortable to go and risk the investment. Because investment is a risk. It's a risk. When you come and serve and you do what God has called you to do here, even in the church, it's a risk. Somebody might get offended. That's a risk. Somebody might not like me. Somebody might not give me a handshake. Somebody might look at me the wrong way. Or whatever it might be, my insecurities might be exposed. Somebody might know the real me. That's what keeps us away from investing. It's the risk of being exposed. It's the risk of having something that we... nobody knows about this. I'd rather just put it to the side. I'll deal with that later. But at some point in time, the owner's coming. See, this is what we do. We lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming. Because we don't see it. We don't hear about it. I mean, we hear the news and we're like, oh man, that's a sign of the times. But we don't apply it directly to our own lives. We're like, okay, it's in Ukraine. It's there. It's not home. Jesus might be showing up over there, maybe. But not here. Kodiak, come on. That's a little bit far away. I've got a little bit more time today. But we don't even own the time that we've been allotted. We're not even guaranteed that the next breath you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. So this passage, this parable is to awaken the body of Christ. A lot of time we think about this, oh, this is just the three servants. Oh, the poor old one. Dude got only just one. Look at the others. They got four. They got five and two. But we forget that the expectation was just the same. The potential to increase, to utilize was just the same. The same opportunities were there. But one made a choice to dig a hole and to just leave it there.
In verse 20 and 23, we're going to put it up, but we don't have time to read it. Servant number one received five and produced five more. And the owner counted 10 total. Servant number two received two and produced two more. And the owner counted 4 total. But here's what I need you to catch. They both receive different amounts, 5 and 2, but they both met the owner's expectation. They both met the same expectation. They doubled it. They were productive. But they also received the same reward. The amount that they received initially had no bearing on the reward. They both received the same reward. And we read it there. It says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things." Remember, it's just a few things. "I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." The key word here is faithful. They were faithful servants. They were faithful over few things, and they were able to receive, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." They both received the same reward. Faithfulness is a condition of the heart. That's how you measure faithfulness. You can look at somebody's heart and say, "That's a very faithful servant. He's doing it with the right motive. He has no ulterior motive for him serving, for him being a good steward. He's doing it for the Lord, not for himself. He's not trying to do it to get a little pat on the back. He's doing it because that's his heart. His heart is to serve. His heart is to give. That is what God is after. That is what God is after. He's not trying to look for a servant so that they can actually say, look what I've done. I'm doing it and nobody else is doing it." No, that's not a good servant. A good servant is doing it quietly, privately. He's doing it just because that's his heart. He loves to serve. He loves to just give of himself whatever the resources that God has entrusted him with. He's investing it into the kingdom of God by serving. It's a condition of the heart. It's not nothing to do with your level of responsibility, your title, or anything else. It's just faithfulness because that's where your heart is at. And I believe at Oceans United, we've got a lot of faithful servants. A lot of number one and number twos. They're there. But if we check on number three, caramba. He messed it up. Mucho stupido. I don't know what he did, but he did something really bad. Into verse 24, it says, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord.'" This is where he starts messing up because he's trying to be really religious there. "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. I was afraid." He was scared. "I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours." Here's what's sad. It's the way that he perceived God. He perceived God as a hard man instead of a loving father. That's the way he perceived God. And I think this probably broke God's heart at the moment when he said that. "I knew you were a hard man. A hard man, not a loving father." See, when you see God as a hard man instead of a loving father, you would always hold back. You won't give your best. You will hold back always. He did not waste the owner's money. He did not, because he said, "Here, you gave me one, here's one back."
He didn't waste it. What he wasted was an opportunity to maximize his full potential. He forgot that the expectation was just the same with what he was given. So he missed that opportunity to hear his master say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. You've done well. You were faithful with a few things, and I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter in the joy of the Lord." But here's the master's response. "But his Lord answered him and said, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seeds, so you ought to have deposited what? My money.'" See, I told you the talents were talking about money. You know, it's like, "Oh man, is this kind of church? We talk about money." Well, the Lord talks about money. The Lord talks about money right there. Says, "You should have deposited my money. Deposited my money with the bankers. At my coming," because he's coming, "at my coming, I would have received back his, with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents." Now, not only was he lazy, he was wicked. That's a double ouch. I hear the word lazy, I'm like, "Oh man, please don't call me lazy." But lazy and wicked. Have you ever wondered why he dug a hole? You know, I mean, put in your mattress or something. I mean, I don't know. Well, what do we do nowadays? Do something with it. He dug a hole. And he put that talent in that hole. I thought about this for a little bit. You know, it's like, why would somebody do this? Dig a hole. I mean, are you a pirate? I mean, pirates do that, I guess. You know, watch shows and, yeah. Pirates. A pirate. A pirate. A pirate, you know, eye patch pirate. I've been thinking about this. You know, when you put your money in the bank, there's a record of it, right? There's a record. There's an accounting done. At the end, you get what they call a statement of account. There's a check and balance going on, right? You can't fudge it, because somebody else is keeping it accountable besides you, knowing what's happening, right? But when you dig a hole and you put the money in there, guess what you don't have? No record. No record of it. When there's no record, there's no account. When there is no account, guess what? There's not accountability. There's no accountability. He didn't want to be accountable to anybody, because stewardship is about accountability. You got to be accountable when you're a steward. You got to be responsible when you're a steward. Guess what? When you are a steward, you're accountable to somebody else. Somebody else is keeping track of what you're doing. This guy didn't want to be accountable to anybody. He took what the master gave to him, dug a hole, and planted it there. Did not want to be accountable to anybody at all. As we get ready to close, I want to tell you a little bit more. I gave you a little bit of a snapshot of what God did and regarding me. I want to tell you a little bit more. Some of you know it, some of you don't. When God called me to, at that time I had no idea it was ministry. I didn't know. I knew God called me to be in a certain place without giving me the purpose of the assignment. So God told me, "Just go there. When you get there, you'll figure it out." And that's the way it was for me. I showed up at ORU. Number one, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do in terms of declaring a major. If you go to school, you know, you got to declare a major. You got to declare what you're going to be doing. You got to know what direction you're going to. I remember, it's like, I have no idea. I really don't know. All I know, what I heard was, show up there. And I did. But the stewardship was to listen and to respond. That was my first thing to that I learned about stewardship, was to respond to his calling, to respond to his voice. And I graduated with a bachelor's, also debt-free, thank God. Didn't carry any debt from the bachelor's to the master's. So when I showed up there, I was like, okay, Lord, it's going to have to be another miracle. Because I did not want to have, I mean, number one, there was no other way but to have to do it on a cash basis, because I didn't have access to federal grants. So during that time, when I shared last week about me going into this arena called the London Arena, there's a lot of people there. And I went up after, remember I told you that the usher spotted me among so many people. I did not know how she did that. God did it. She pointed out to me and said, all we want to do, just pray for you. I was like, you don't say no to prayer. I was like, okay, sure, why not? So I remember going up there, took a little card, they took a little card just like that, wrote down my name, said, what is it God is doing? I'm like, well, believe in God for money to go to college. Handed that over. I thought this was it. I mean, I'm new to this thing. I'm a fairly new Christian. I have no idea what do they do with this type of stuff. So I'm coming up there, and I walk up to the person that I need to hand this over to, and say, we're going to come and pray for you. I'm like, okay, sure. I'm standing in line getting ready to be prayed over. They call me up to the stage. At that time, I'm walking up to the stage. I mean, it's a big stage. I mean, they got this giant screen, like you know, Super Bowl type of style. Big giant screen. I see my face up there. I'm like, what in the what are they going to do? And this guy just came up and, you know, he's getting ready for his message. I'm like, the last thing he wants is to be able to, you know, to talk to me or whatever. He prayed over me. And he prayed for God's will to be done. He prayed that I would actually hear the calling. I remember the words that he used. I pray that you will hear the calling. And as you hear the calling, you would know what to do. And God will provide for you. He prayed. And I remember that I felt the power of God for the very first time. I've never felt God so strong in my life. I mean, there have been many times since, but that time, in front of so many people, he prayed over me, and I felt like this weight, like God's hands was pressing on me. And I remember just going down on my knees. It felt like I was there in that position for hours, but it was just maybe a minute. I remember when I kind of gathered myself, I was crying and all, and there were several pastors sitting on the stage on the side. They called me and said, sit right here. And I remember sitting there, and I'm the camera, I guess there were cameras everywhere. They were kept zooming in on me. I'm like, Lord, what is happening? You know, it's like you don't want anybody to know who you are. You know, I'm like, I don't want anybody to know me. And afterwards, I'm like, hey, is it okay if I just go back to my seat? It's like, sure, if you want to. I'm like, okay. So I went back to my seat. A few weeks later, it's like the finances keep coming in. From every places that I can't to this day, I can't tell you exactly how it came, but it showed up. It showed up in such a way that I did not know what to do with the money. I mean, I'm a young guy. I have never handled that much money in my life. I'm like, what do I do with this? How do I handle that? And I remember, this is where stewardship comes in. Go and find somebody who can do it for you. had to go and find someone from an investment company to say, here you go. I have no clue what to do. You do it for me. Before I set foot on campus, that was 2.5 years later, everything was paid for. Everything. Stewardship is about, number one, recognizing the fact that it comes from Him. If you get that part, that you don't own anything, that's it. That's where you start. That you don't own anything. He owns it all. That was my first lesson in stewardship. That I'm having the privilege of actually teaching about this now. Because I was taught by the Holy Spirit how to. How to put Him first. How to take whatever came, and there was a whole lot of it. How to put God first in that whole lot. How to tithe on every increase that came in. Everything, I made sure that God was first. Somebody would give me 50 pounds sterling. I would tithe off of that. Somebody would give me whatever it might be. I would tithe off of that. It became this principle, this cycle of sowing and reaping. I've applied that in my life all the way through. Never once have I lacked anything to do what God has called me to do. And I think this is a principle that God wants the body of Christ to embrace, to believe in, because that's where it starts. It starts with stewardship of everything that what God has provided. Would you please stand? Maybe you're hearing this for the first time, but I want you to know that you are like God's bank account. And God has deposited in you something, a talent, resources, everything you need to your capacity. So that you can accomplish the task that He set for you. Remember, one day He's coming back. And God is an amazing accountant. He's pretty good at counting. He's pretty good at keeping a record. And He wants you to be a good steward of what He's given to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You for the tools that You've given to us as a body of believers to engage ourselves into this kingdom principle of stewardship. Let that be a seed in our hearts. Let that seed grow. Holy Spirit, You do Your job. You minister to whomever You need to minister to now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you all. God bless you. We'll see you again next week.